From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Tuesday, January 7th, 2017. I'm Philip Grant. Amelia Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper on the efforts of the Chatham Village Board to increase its water and sewer rates. A workshop on the proposal was held late last month. Under the new rate structure, the existing minimum use charge would be eliminated. Instead, residents would be billed every 3 months for the actual amount of water used. Users would be charged 0.045 cents per cubic foot and 0.065 cents per cubic foot of sewer. That amount would be doubled for properties located outside the village. Under the new plan, the Price Chopper Market, which is its own special water and sewer district, would see an increase in its water bill of approximately 41%, and its sewer bill would grow by 58%. If the board approves the rates this month, the charges will take effect in time for the first quarter billing cycle in March. Village Clerk Barbara Henry said the proposed rates are available at her office in the village hall. Her office will also send a mailer and add information to the village website, villageofchatham.com, as well as its Facebook page, Village of Chatham, New York. The board will hear public comment on the proposed water and sewer rates at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, February the 9th, at Tracy Memorial Hall. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Marie J. French is reporting at Politico New York that the State Department of Health has been looking for contractors to administer blood tests to approximately 15,000 residents of Newburgh, where the water supply has been found to contain the toxic chemical PFOS, but no companies have responded. Newburgh is a predominantly minority city of 30,000 residents. Local officials and public health advocates are concerned about perceived delays in the first round of testing, the waiting list of those to be tested, and the lack of an overreaching outreach strategy. Karen Mayham, a member of Newburgh City Council, said, and I quote, "They need to test everyone. That's the only way as a community we're going to be satisfied with the outcome for our area," end quote. Approximately 3,400 have expressed interest in the testing, but the department has so far tested about 740 people. The first tests were done in November, but no results have been released yet. Outreach has been a particular concern in Newburgh, where nearly half the residents speak a language other than English at home. Public health advocates believe a broad education or advertising campaign is necessary to make sure residents know about the importance of getting tested. You can read that full story in Politico New York. Rick Carlin is reporting at Capitol Confidential that State Assembly Democrats are prepared for the fifth time to pass a DREAM Act, which treats undocumented foreign-born students as citizens, even if they were brought to the U.S. as infants. The Democrats have also announced their intention to pass a new Liberty Act that would provide immigrants with a number of protections statewide. Those protections would include the right to legal representation for anyone facing immigration charges, a prohibition against police questioning individuals about their immigration status, and a curtailment of the use of state and local facilities for detaining people. The Assembly majority acknowledged the Liberty Act is a direct response to the policies and rhetoric of President Donald Trump. The bill's prospects in the Republican-controlled Senate are unclear at best, Carlin writes. You can read that full story at Capitol Confidential, a Times Union blog. Amelia Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper that the Volusia Planning Board and Zoning Board of Appeals held a second joint meeting last week to discuss the proposal to build a car wash on Route 9 in the village. BJ Cantelli presented the board with plans to replace the Valken restaurant building with a 24-hour self-service car wash. Cantelli's engineer discussed testing for chemicals, hours of operation, and approvals needed from the State Department of Environmental Conservation about the wetlands behind the existing building. Cantelli still needs to present topographic maps of the area to address grading issues. It is believed the property is located in a 100-year floodplain, a matter that still needs to be resolved, Teasdale writes. In a letter to the board, Kinderhook Village Mayor Jim Dunham raised concerns about calcium chloride from the cars getting into the village's aquifer. A major issue facing the proposal, Volusia Mayor Diane Argel said, is the moratorium on water service expansion the county and state have imposed on the village. She said Cantelli would have to talk to the county Department of Health about the ban. The boards must conduct a long-form state environmental quality review and then must go to the DEC, a state historic review board, the Village of Kinderhook, the County Planning Board, and the Department of Health. The two boards will hold another joint meeting on February 22nd. A public hearing on the project has not yet been scheduled. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Rosa Atchison is reporting in the Register Star that Kinderhook resident Ann Showmaker was honored by the Columbia Green Hospital Foundation board this weekend at its 7th annual Winter Blast held at Club Helsinki. Showmaker was awarded the first ever Columbia Memorial Health Clara Kellner Award in acknowledgement of her dedication to community. Showmaker is an active supporter of Habitat for Humanity, the Columbia County Historical Society, and the Columbia Green Hospital Foundation Board. She is originally from Brooklyn and moved permanently to Kinderhook in 2006. Showmaker said, and I quote, "I'm totally overwhelmed tonight and so honored. I can't imagine," end quote. The 7th annual Winter Blast drew more than 200 hospital supporters from both Columbia and Greene counties, including U.S. Representative John Faso. Faso said he has known Showmaker for years. He said, and I quote, "She's a tremendous inspirational force in the community. I can't think of any beneficial activity in Columbia County that Ann's not involved in," end quote. The award is named for Clara Kellner, a longtime hospital benefactor. Kellner served as the chair of the Hospital Foundation Board. You can read that full story in the Register Star. Patricia Doxey's reporting in the Daily Freeman that Ulster County Executive Mike Hine announced last week plans to allow the spouses of veterans to be buried alongside the veteran in Ulster County Veterans Cemetery free of charge. Hine announced a proposal during the State of the County address on Thursday, February the 2nd. During the coming months, the administration will ask the county legislature to adopt the policy. County legislature authorized the creation of the Ulster County Veterans Cemetery in New Platts in 2008. The policy at that time allowed the spouses of veterans to be buried there if the family covered the cost. Deputy County Executive Ken Cronell said the county anticipates there will be about 5 burials in the Veterans Cemetery in the coming year. The Veterans Cemetery comprises about 1,000 plots in a portion of New Platts Cemetery on Plains Road. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Chris McKenna is reporting at the Fray that both chambers of the state legislature last week approved for the second time a proposed constitutional amendment that will allow judges to revoke or reduce the state pensions of public employees convicted of a felony related to their official duties. The proposal applies to elected officials, gubernatorial appointees, judges, and certain other public officers. The law would not result in automatic forfeiture. A judge would decide whether to cancel or cut a pension and by how much, considering various factors, including the impact on spouses and children. The measure passed unanimously in the Assembly, and in the Senate, only 4 members voted no. If the proposal is signed by Governor Andrew Cuomo and then put to the voters in a referendum in November, you can read that full story at the Fray. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter weather advisory for the greater capital region beginning at 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. today, Tuesday, February the 7th. Snow and sleet are expected beginning with the morning commute. The snow and sleet will transition to sleet and freezing rain by late morning into the afternoon and eventually turn to rain by mid-afternoon to early evening. As for today, the National Weather Service is forecasting freezing rain and sleet are likely at 11 a.m., then rain or freezing rain until noon, turning into rain afternoon. The temperature high will be 36 degrees, accumulation of less than 1 inch is possible. More rain for Tuesday night and the temperature will rise to 45 degrees by 4 a.m. The forecast for the next 2 days... Well, on Wednesday, a chance of showers mainly before 10 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy. A temperature high will be 51 degrees. On Wednesday night, a chance of snow mainly after 1 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 24. And on Thursday, a chance of snow mostly cloudy with a high near 29 degrees. Thursday night, a slight chance of snow showers after 1 a.m. Partly cloudy with a low around 13. Sunrise today was at 7 a.m. and the sun will set at 5:18 p.m., that will give us 10 hours and 18 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Tuesday, the 7th day of February 2017. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.